This is Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal for June 6th, 2019. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. On today's program, we continue the broadcast heard this morning on WERU's Main Currents with Amy Brown, a panel discussion titled Connecting Our Struggles, Corporations or Communities. On May 29th, a panel of Maine-based activists spoke at the Belfast Free Library at an event called Connecting Our Struggles, Corporations, or Communities, organized by Local Citizens for Smart Growth and the Peace and Justice Group of Waldo County. The goal of the evening was to highlight and discuss the particular and common experiences of four different community efforts to educate and organize in opposition to large corporate operations proposed, in operation, or ongoing in Maine. These include Central Maine Power's proposed New England Energy Connect, NECEC, a corridor which would bring electricity from Hydro-Quebec to Massachusetts through Maine. Ongoing water extraction by Nestle Waters North America, owners of Poland Spring. The highly controversial proposed Nordic Aqua Farms 40-acre salmon operation in Belfast. And the ongoing work of the Penobscot Nation to prioritize environmental and cultural health and tribal sovereignty in the face of historically industry-friendly policies. The first part of this panel discussion was broadcast this morning on Maine Currents with Amy Brown. It can be heard again on WERU's online archives at weru.org. We continue where Amy left off, with the final panelist, John Banks, responding to the question, how is information about the issue shared in your community, locally, statewide, and nationally? The panelists are Nikki Sakara of Community Water Justice, Matt Wagner of No to NECEC, Ellie Daniels of Local Citizens for Smart Growth, and John Banks, Natural Resources Director for the Penobscot Nation. The moderator was Don Neptune Adams, Penobscot environmental and social justice activist, and a member of the Sunlight Media Collective. Again, we start with John Banks, Natural Resources Director for the Penobscot Nation.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. So, at the local level, I think similar to what Nikki said, just interpersonal communication, person to person. We call it the Mogazin Telegraph. And the Mogazin Telegraph has gone digital. Now we communicate a lot sitting at our computers, talking to each other, and just staying in touch. Families historically, there'd be family gatherings during different times of the year for exchanging information. But I really want to take this opportunity to send a big shout out to Meredith and Don for their great work. Sunlight Media has been a fantastic outlet of getting information out about some of our river issues that we've been dealing with. They've just done fantastic work. They come in and they interview people. They interview the tribal chiefs. They interview myself, natural resource folks, and our staff. And then they put the interviews out on Facebook, and they have a Facebook page. Thank you.
Moderator Don Neptune Adams.
Okay, we're up to our third question. Is this question number three? Okay, so the third question is, how do you see the issues you are pushing against connecting with the issues other communities are working on in Maine and beyond? And what are the common threads?
John Banks, Natural Resources Director for the Penobscot Nation.
Water, and water. That's the common thread. That's what binds us all together. You know, you guys are here downstream from our reservation. It's the Penobscot River that connects us. That's all I want to say. Water. It's the water.
Matt Wagner with No to NECEC, New England Clean Energy Connect.
So that's absolutely what it is. A lot of people have talked about this transmission line as being a green energy, clean energy, et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to take a look at North American mega dam resistance and what's happened on the North Shore of Labrador, and the fact that Nalcor is planning 2,900 more hydro dams in Quebec and Labrador to feed the Northeast's growing energy demand, the methyl mercury poisoning of Indigenous people in Quebec and Northern Labrador is staggering. A few weeks ago here in town, we had the Sierra Club meeting where someone actually told a woman from Happy Valley Goose Bay, Labrador, that what she was going to give up was insignificant compared to what we need. And it was just shocking to see that that mentality is still alive and exists, and it's real. Massachusetts, by the time this is done, the impoundment of hydro there could be the size of New York State. Right now it's the size of Vermont State. So that's what ultimately we're up against. A transmission corridor itself isn't a clean energy project, but the DEP, LUPC, and the PUC doesn't look across the border. They have these little blinders on, and they look at this project under a very narrow field of view. And what we need to do is get out to the public and show what's happening to Happy Valley Goose Bay. This is the last year that a wild, free-flowing river flows into Happy Valley Goose Bay. So that's many, many rivers. It's called the Grand to those people up there. It's also called Churchill, but you can certainly investigate that yourselves. I encourage people to do that. On top of that, in a minor impact, the number of watersheds, brook trout habitat, the amount of habitat that this New England Clean Energy Collect transmission corridor crosses is staggering. Right now, there's no other infrastructure like this in the area. This proposed transmission line only takes up half of the proposed corridor width that they essentially own or have control of. The second half will most likely be used for an AC line, and there are over 300 mountaintop windmills proposed for just this section of Somerset and Franklin County, and every one of those involves massive roads up mountains and will further decimate that watershed, which is one of the last strongholds of native brook trout in America.
Ellie Daniels of Local Citizens for Smart Growth in Belfast.
Well, yes, water, the bay, and the few remaining wild Atlantic salmon. And I'm going to add to what other people are saying to talk a little bit about our communities, because community is very important to me and to many of us here. And I think that there's no lack of recognition in this room that Maine is a really special place, and that's why we're here. And that the things that people notice when they come to a community like this one are a kind of authenticity and a kind of human connection between people that is becoming rare, and especially since 2 years ago. And I think that we have to recognize that in the last 8 years here in Maine, that our communities have been decimated by the administration in Augusta. And that administration gathered around itself a lot of major players in economic development for pure capitalistic profit and taking of resources that formed into groups such as Maine and Company that brought Nordic Aqua Farms here to Belfast to say that this was the, you know, the place that they just had to be. And this same last 8 years of administration has robbed our children of resources in their schools. It has robbed Mainers of food security. It has robbed them of heating security. It has made our water dirty and opened it up to exploitation. And it has put corporations and industries in front of citizens. And it has done that with no consciousness that I believe most of the people in this room share, which is a consciousness about a greater good. And so that's how we are connected, and that is how I want to spend my next efforts to connect together conscious movements to protect a way of life in our communities in Maine.
You were listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today we hear part two of a panel discussion titled Connecting Our Struggles, Corporations, or Communities. On May 29th, a panel of Maine-based activists spoke at the Belfast Free Library to highlight four different community efforts to educate and organize in opposition to large corporate operations proposed in operation or ongoing in Maine. These include Central Maine Power's proposed New England Clean Energy Connect, water extraction by Nestle Waters North America, owner of Poland Spring, the proposed Nordic Aqua Farm salmon operation in Belfast, and the ongoing work of the Penobscot Nation to prioritize environmental and cultural health and tribal sovereignty. Nikki Sakara of Community Water Justice.
Yeah, that's a great thing to highlight, because I think we all know in this time we're at a turning point. We can see it on the news every day. We can see it in the interactions that we have with our community members about the political climate, the environmental climate. I can see it in my kid's face when we talk a lot, because he's in tune with what's going on. And we do this work together for the reason that it's time that we heal things, right? This trajectory that we're on, if we can't bring it back together, like we're in a sweet spot. We have a really awesome moment here to do things differently and to look at what is sustainability and what does it look like in the long term. So I think, you know, that's all of our concerns. Even though the corridor, for some people, you know, it's not a stretch for me to connect water to that, because, I mean, there are spraying concerns and things like that. And water's our first medicine. Now, if you really think about that, right? I think, you know, I remember Don and I have had these conversations, certainly with it, yes. And so it's our first medicine. And the way that we're treating it, you know, how we treat our water is how we treat ourselves. And so we seem to have disrespected it in such a way that how can we truly feel respected and how can we really see each other with respect when we're turning our blind eyes to the way that we're treating our water? Now, some interesting things, just to get back to the question a little bit more specifically, another common threads is I was at the State House, Environment and Natural Resources Committee decided to hear five different water protection leaning bills all in one day. So that meant we had 3 minutes to speak to five very important bills, which doesn't do a service to anybody in that room. You know, I had worked on food and water sovereignty bill with some folks in the room a number of years ago, and the suits came out in force. It was double that, at least, for this bill. And I couldn't help but notice the Pierce Atwood government relations director there representing and working with both Nordic Aqua Farms and Nestle. Because people are here for our water, you know? And so it's, yeah. You know, with the river case that we're dealing with, we know that it's the corporations that want to use that waterway and be able to dump what they need to in order to run their business. It's important for them to have control over that so they can regulate it, deregulate it in the way that the state sees fit. So, you know, with the DEP, it's a customer service organization or agency. So we really need to look at this differently, think about it differently. All of these fights are connected, and at the state level, and seeing the alliances, the corporate alliances that are banding together to make sure we don't pass more protective laws is impressive. I had three different bills go in that I was working on directly, and you know, one of the three is going to pass, but the most important ones for today are not. So we have an uphill battle with that, and so yeah, I think we're all feeling it because the regulatory route is really tough.
Moderator Dawn Neptune Adams.
That was my favorite question and answer of these four questions. I do love the fact that we've interwoven the water together, because water is all related and connected and does not respect any imaginary line called a border. This is the next question. How has the process of your community's struggle changed your thoughts about better and more effective ways to move forward and strengthen our communities?
Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice.
You know, after the season, this legislative season, you know, having to be up in Augusta a little bit more than I typically like to, it's hard to have faith in that process. So just seeing the powers that exist, you know, until we can overturn Citizen United and get some of those corporate, you know, those that private money out of our system, it's going to continue. The battle's going to continue to look like this. And it's really, it's hard to stay, for my mind to stay afloat and in the right places. So I think the best way that we can move forward through this and what I've learned is, certainly, I knew this before, but part of me needed to go through that process to feel that in that space and witness it. Just because I'm a person that learns by doing something. And so experientially, it seems more and more clear that within our own communities, and we have the power of home rule, right? And I know it's been mentioned up here, and Maine is a home rule state through and through. People get really salty when you're messing with our home rule authority. So one thing to, you know, focusing on from those lessons is really dig in and look up your water ordinance. Some towns don't even have them, they're finding. When I ask them, they're like, whoa, we don't even have a water ordinance. So what do you want for your community? You know, and what does that look like long term? Because you can put in local regulations to determine and set up boundaries. So that way the self-determination piece for your community comes into play. Because a lot of it's not going to happen at the state level. It's just not on some of these issues. The powers are so great and they're highly organized and they're becoming more organized, frankly. They're really great at what they do, and it's really hard to get our smaller community voices over that powerful narrative that's being pumped out. On the same day that we were in a hearing for those five water bills, it just so happened that at 6 p.m. that night, Nestle released their whole media campaign on social media. And we looked into the statistic or the numbers behind it, and they spent over $400,000 in 1 week on ads through Facebook. It's hard to, you know, to work against that. So have those community meetings and get your folks together, have conversations, and I think that's one thing that we can do for each other. So yeah.
Ellie Daniels of Local Citizens for Smart Growth.
Yeah, I think that we hosted a training here and put on a movie about 6 weeks ago. And at the end of that time, I feel like I had an awakening. And it was that we need to take a radical departure from the way we've been pressing back at these things. We need to be doing some really different things, both at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level. We're already doing it at the federal level. Look at those midterm elections and look at what those people are doing. you know? And, but it's like, things like ranked choice voting, you know, we can't like let these issues, get defeated, because we are changing something that, allowed the last 8 years to happen, despite that. And to have ranked choice voting at the federal level would have prevented our present result. Returning to look at the most basic constitutional rights, you know, it has not been a forever thing that corporations have more rights than citizens. Looking at things like your city charter, our city charter has given rights to corporations to by saying that we cannot have citizen petitions when it involves decisions about economic development and corporate establishment within our city borders. And that happened because we had a very close referendum to keep a big box store, Walmart, out of this community. And it was very close, and it didn't sit well with some people. So a radical departure, you know, and now I have met a lot of radical partners from every stripe of life and income level and age and even political viewpoints that are all working in this movement against the threats to this community that Nordic Aqua Farms has brought. So let's do something different.
Matt Wagner with No to NECEC.
So this is pretty cool for me. Because this is probably like the largest foray into like the actual, you know, political process I've ever taken. I'm sort of more of the troublemaking variety in my past, and I've had a lot of fun with that. So this is actually pretty fun because the Say No group, I don't know if folks pay attention to the polls, but Franklin County's like over 90% opposed to this. Somerset County's, you know, around the mid 80s% opposed to this, and statewide, you know, it's high 60s to mid 70s opposed to this. It's a very strongly bipartisan issue. We've had folks from, you know, the right wing try to discredit this, and people from the left wing wholeheartedly endorse it. And folks from both sides come together and say, you know, you corporatists are out, you know, get out of our woods. There's been some really uplifting conversations. Folks that, you know, were adamantly opposed to the North Maine Woods National Monument, now coming around a pickup truck ride saying, boy, that might have been ahead of their time. That looks a lot better than what they're planning on doing to the North Maine Woods now. You know, we've got the people that fought for the bear baiting referendum, you know, working with the bear baiters to oppose CMP. It's pretty uplifting, and I think that there's a model there for people starting to pay attention to what happens when people actually stop being divided by partisan politics and take a look at what's important for their community and realize, you know, that the water is really what ties everybody together, and we need to stand up, you know, and protect that. And I think that we've bought ourselves enough time with what we're doing to let that message be heard in Augusta. And folks are definitely starting to realize that their re-elections, you know, are pending on this issue. Probably the real head turner for a lot of people in Augusta was when the town of Wilton voted 198 people to rescind and oppose the corridor. One person voted to rescind and remain neutral, and nobody voted to support it. So it was essentially a unanimous town vote in the town immediately adjacent to Janet Mills' hometown to oppose this. So that brought a lot of politicians to heel.
John Banks, Natural Resources Director for the Penobscot Nation.
I guess I get to be the last one to speak on this question. First of all, I want to thank you for giving me the only table with flowers on it. You know, we talk a lot about the integration of traditional ecological knowledge and Western science. And I think a lot about our ancestors and how they lived and how they related to the natural world. You know, what kinds of things did they think about? And I try to think about things that we can bring forward from our history into the present that will help us continue to move ahead and continue to be responsible stewards for the environment that supports us all. And I keep coming back to the three R's. I have a Maine accent, so it's hard for me to say R, but that, I'm saying the letter R. The three R's. So, you know, we talk about respect. Respect for the natural world. Respect for everything. The smallest, tiniest, you know, bugs and critters, all the way up to the mammals. And recognize that every one of those has its own job description. That's important. It's very important. You know, I've been told by Western scientists that if you take 1 cubic foot of soil in the average forest in Maine, they've identified over 1 million biological interactions going on in 1 cubic foot of soil. That's amazing. All of those interactions have to happen in order for that tree to grow and do what it does. So we talk about respect. We talk about responsibility, the second R. These salmon, these trout, all of the critters, they can't read the signs. We have to be the ones that are responsible for them. We've been given that responsibility, and we need to take it seriously. They cannot speak for themselves. They rely on us. And we can learn a lot just by observing them as well. A third R is reciprocity. And that's recognizing that the natural world has supported us and allowed us to thrive for thousands of years. And we need to give back. Many tribal members, when they harvest a deer or a moose, they do a reciprocity ceremony. They will put some tobacco down and give thanks that that animal gave its life so that you could live. And that's a very important ceremony that many tribal people do, and many others do. I also wanted to mention, and certainly what everyone has said here today about going forward is very important, but I think youth education and involvement is really, really important. We really need to make sure that we're working in the right way with our youth. They're the ones that are going to inherit what we do. You know, we are the seventh generation now, and I don't want our grandkids to be pissed off at us for not doing the right thing and saying, what was wrong with you people? Why didn't you take better care of her while you were in power? So we cannot leave the youth out. That's the most important thing in terms of going forward in our education and outreach. Thank you.
Again, you can listen to the first hour of this panel discussion titled Connecting Our Struggles, Corporations, or Communities at weru.org in the archives from Maine Currents with Amy Brown. Amy Brown edited today's panel discussion. And you have been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio, 89.9 Blue Hill, and online at weru.org.